Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Nathan Ramsey, and I'm with Lambda Sky Regional Council, and welcome to our weekly COVID-19 call. We've been hosting these calls since, late March, April, to keep our region informed about resources, opportunities, best practices, ways to share during the COVID-19 pandemic. So, we appreciate you joining us today. Just to give you a few housekeeping matters before we get started. We will have another call next Thursday, and then we'll take a break until January the 7th. So I hope y'all all have a wonderful holiday and stay safe and enjoy time with your family and friends. These calls are recorded, so just want to let you know that. We're muting everyone on the call, but if you have any questions, any comments, you can enter those into the chat. And if you're unable to do that, you can also text me at 828-768-3216. We have a resource page on the Land of Sky website at landofsky.org, and we try to keep a archive of these calls on that web page. And I know we probably have a few we need to update, but we have the resources from these calls. So you're welcome to reach out there, but you can also reach out to me at nathan@landofsky.org, and I'll be glad to share with you any information that we have. But today we're honored to have Drew Christie, Governor Roy Cooper's Western representative, to share with us the latest from the governor's office and from Raleigh. And then we'll have representatives from the Economic Development Partnership of North Carolina who will share about their upcoming Onward as One roundtable that they're hosting for the Western Prosperity Zone. They're in the midst of, I think this will be their final meeting, but they're holding 8 meetings across the state based on the Prosperity Zones. And this one will be for the Western region, which includes the Land of Sky region, the Southwestern Commission region, most of the isothermal region as well. But before we turn it over to EDP of North Carolina, I'll now turn it over to Drew Christie with the governor's office to give us an update. Drew, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Nathan, and thank you to the Land of Sky Regional Council for hosting this meeting. As per usual, I'll go through numbers and then I will talk about what the governor announced with his executive order 181 on Tuesday that will be implemented tomorrow at 5 o'clock. So as of today, we have had a total of 416,083 confirmed cases of coronavirus. Yesterday we had our highest day ever at 6,495 confirmed positive cases, new cases yesterday. Today we're down about 1,000 cases, but it's still, it's way too high. Today we have 5,556 new cases reported. There have currently been 5,778,458 completed tests. And I believe our positivity rate is extremely high for North Carolina, which is lower than most states, but it's still very high, where I think we're sitting at currently 10.5% positivity rate. Again, what Secretary Cohen states is our goal is 5% or under is our targeted goal for positivity rates. So again, we're over double that, and that's not a good thing. But trying to put a positive spin on it, we're doing better than most of the states around us. But we still need to keep remembering the 3 W's, to wear a cloth face covering, to wash our hands frequently, and to wait 6 feet apart from people so we can get this virus under control. There are currently 2,444 people hospitalized due to COVID-19. And if we look at Yeah, so that's all I have to report on the COVID-19 numbers there. Move over to Department of or Division of Employment Securities. There has been currently $8.9 billion paid out in unemployment claims, with 931,732 claimants paid. There are currently 7,742 people or claimants pending resolution for state benefits. So that's still trending in the right direction. It's looking like it's kind of leveled off there. So everything's, you know, we're not seeing a mass influx of new cases, and the ones that are coming in, DES is being able to get to them as quickly as they can and get them in the system, and then get them working on getting paid. And overall, total numbers, there have been almost 2.9 million claims filed from March 15th through December the 9th, through yesterday. And it's looking like there was about 6,000 claimants yesterday that filed claims, or people that filed claims. So all those numbers are trending in the right direction. Again, you know, the governor's asked for help from the federal government to help these people that are still on unemployment, so we can extend those benefits and get them more money that they desperately need. Okay, excuse me. So moving on to the governor's executive order 181, which was announced on Tuesday and will begin to take an effect at Friday, tomorrow at 5 p.m. So in the last several weeks, North Carolina has seen a rapid and alarming increase in our key COVID-19 metrics. To slow the spread and maintain hospital capacity, North Carolina will begin a modified stay-at-home order beginning this Friday, December the 11th, and running through at least January, December the 8th, so almost a full month that this executive order will last. This modified stay-at-home order will require people to be at home from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. Businesses, including in-restaurant dining, bars, entertainment venues, personal care businesses, most retail stores, and more, will be required to close by 10 p.m. In addition, all on-site alcohol consumption sales must end by 9 p.m. We already have strong protocols and capacity limitations in place, including a statewide mask requirement, but we have to get these numbers down. As I mentioned, you know, yesterday was our highest total ever, over 6,500 new cases of COVID. So the new modified stay-at-home order aims to limit gatherings and get people home where they are safe, especially during the holidays. This order includes exemptions for food and grocery stores, so you still can go and get takeout or fast food after 10 p.m. And, of course, go to the grocery stores, pharmacies, and other considerations. Our case count has broken single-day records on three separate days just in the last week. I guess make it four days now. A month ago, we were deeply concerned to see case counts going above 3,000. Now we're shocked that these numbers have doubled, with daily counts in the 6,000s, and again today, 5,500. Since the last update on November 23rd, 30 more counties have moved into the red category, which is the critical community spread, and 14 more counties have moved into the orange category, which is substantial community spread. There are now 48 red counties and 34 orange counties, meaning 80% of all the state's counties fall into one of these counties. With the holiday season underway, North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services released health guidance to help people celebrate as safely as possible without spreading the virus. And you can find more information out about the county level data through the DHHS dashboard on their website. So with that, Nathan, I'll turn it back over to you. I do see one question here. Are gyms getting special regulations? I mean, they have to operate within the current guidelines of the executive order. And for gyms, I believe the new, I think it was executive order 180 or 179, I don't remember which, now requires people going to the gyms to wear a mask at all times while they are there. And I do believe that gyms have to operate at a 30% capacity, I believe. It's either 30 or 50. I don't have that percentage right off the top of my head, but it's either one of those two. And so I'll turn it back over to you, Nathan.
Thank you so much, Drew. We appreciate that update from the governor's office. And here's a few questions, and you may not be able to answer them because some of this is late breaking. So the News and Observer is just reporting that after negotiation, there's an agreement between the governor and the legislature on the $30 million for broadband for the great grants. That story just hit. Do you have any update on that, or we will just try to keep people informed as we learn more information?
Yeah, that's the first I've heard of it. I knew there were some talks, but I didn't know at what level and how far along those talks were.
Okay. Well, and I have I've hit the paywall on the News and Observer, so I need to subscribe to their online edition unless WRAL picks it up. So
open up a private browser and you can view it that way.
I'll have to ask my wife if I can subscribe to the News and Observer, get a subscription for Christmas. But we appreciate all the work that you do on our behalf and your advocacy and behalf of the governor's office, and you're always very accessible. So we really appreciate that, Drew. So thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you, Nathan.
We're honored today to have John Loyak and Josh Carpenter with Economic Development Partnership of North Carolina to give us an update from EDPNC and also maybe give us a little preview or a notice about their upcoming roundtable and an initiative they've worked on to help North Carolina businesses recover from the pandemic. So I will try to ask John to unmute himself, and also I don't know if Josh wants to as well, but I will try to make sure both of y'all are, I think you're both unmuted, so I'll turn the presentation over to y'all, and just let me know when you want me to start sharing your PowerPoint.
Sure, Nathan, thank you so much. You can go ahead and start to share that. I'll go ahead and start, and I'm Josh Carpenter with EDPNC.
And I'm John Loyak, and Nathan, as you have taught me for a long time, economic development is a team sport. So Josh and I are going to take this as a team today. And Josh, let me kick it back to you to start us off.
Sure enough. Thanks, John. So I'm going to give you an overview of Economic Development Partnership in North Carolina, and then I'll turn it over to John. He's going to talk about the upcoming Onward as One roundtable that Nathan has graciously accepted to host. And so, like I said, I'm going to give you a brief overview of our organization and what we do, and then John will talk a little bit about that roundtable next week, which is on the 17th, a week from today. So EDPNC as a whole is the state's basically a recruitment and marketing function for all things in terms of economic development. So really what that means to us is there are five areas of economic development that we focus on. Those five areas are outlined here. So really business recruitment, international trade, small business support, and then travel and tourism. The area that I work in and the piece of the pie that I get to be a part of is existing industry support. And so we're very, very blessed in this part of North Carolina to have a lot of great companies, and I get to work with those every day. But there are a lot of other folks that work with EDPNC that get to work with, you know, different types of companies and different types of businesses. And so we have a lot of really interesting and great partners across the state that help us with small business support. We have our own international trade function. And then, of course, we recruit businesses to the state, which is kind of what I term the sexy side of economic development. And then finally, our travel and tourism function, which brings, you know, new visitors to the state. And well, we appreciate that. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about the existing industry team and what we do specifically. So there are 8 existing industry managers around the state. Each of them has a specific region. We do cover all 100 counties. We focus on existing industry support, and we actively work with businesses in those areas to expand and expand jobs and investment. And John has put on here that we get Raleigh out of Raleigh, which is true. We are the face for EDPNC, and we're the face for Department of Commerce. So here's some of the things that we can do for existing industry. Obviously, expansion support, where you're going to expand jobs and investment, a recruitment and customized training of workforce, like we're talking about today and we'll be talking about next week, COVID recovery resources, links to local, state, and federal support programs, supply chain connections, market research and analysis. A very interesting piece and one of the most favorite things I get to talk about is international trade. I'm going to get to connect you to some really a great team at the International Trade Division. And then manufacturing process improvements, working with our partners over at NC State. And then, like I said, we're boots on the ground, and then we're matchmakers of needs for businesses. So if you have a need and we can't necessarily put you right together with somebody that has a very specific program, we will matchmake and find that resource for you, whether or not we have an exact match that day. So we pride ourselves on that ability. Nathan, you can go down to the next slide. So like I said, those are the services that we provide to local companies here in the Western Prosperity Zone. And then in terms of COVID response, specifically what we've been working on is essential industry status. That was early on was a very hot topic across the state. And then for companies that wanted to pivot to PPE manufacturing, we assisted them with those types of pivots and you know, making different products from face masks, respirators to various other types of products. Supply chain connections, again, obviously workforce development solutions. And then introductions for purchasing of PPE, something that we've been doing with DHHS and local communities for a while. And then obviously, as the state and the feds roll out particular grant programs that are associated with COVID response, we have been kind of a clearinghouse for that information. So JRG, MEP programs, STEP, the MURR program that was recently, you know, kind of opened and closed. And so anything else that you might have in terms of response from both federal and state resources. All right, Nathan, next slide, thanks. So here's a map of North Carolina. I cover, like I said, that Western 13 counties. So you can see that kind of in that gold color all the way to the west. Like I said, there are eight prosperity managers, eight different county level folks. And so we cover those there that you can see. So to my north and west is Bill Slagle. To the south and west is Melanie Underwood, South Central, Philip Shoemaker, Southeast, James Wolf, Northeast, Sarah Bernhardt, and then North Central, Harry Swedenson. And then the Piedmont Triad is covered by Tracy Dellinger. Again, all 100 counties are covered. We again, try to get Raleigh out of Raleigh and put a face and a name with Department of Commerce. So now I'll turn it over to John for a little bit of more information about this Onward is One campaign. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. And Nathan, thank you for having me here today. This is a great opportunity for us to just more broadly share a message that I think is a very important one. For those of you who might be wondering why we're pursuing this campaign and what we're doing, I will say this. The one thing that we are very aware of is that when it comes to our existing industry assets, those who work with them virtually all swear by them. People who know Josh have Josh on speed dial. The trouble is this, you know, we're out there working with any number of businesses throughout the year. We need to raise awareness that these resources are available. It's not just the resources that are available through our organization. As Josh mentioned, we like to think of ourselves as matchmakers who are linking out to a variety of other organizations. To paint a bit of a picture for you, I would like to begin these comments by saying that I'm very bullish on where things are going for the North Carolina economy right now. We have seen some wonderful things happening. To be perfectly frank, we've got some businesses that we work with who at this point, they can't keep up with the orders that are coming in. There's some really interesting things that have happened and we've got some very good stories. That is not the case for everyone though. If I were to focus on two areas specifically, I would say something that impacts you all directly is the impact on the tourism industry. And Whit Tuttle is my colleague who runs our Visit and See team. And he tells me that we have seen for an industry that last year had, I believe it was just over $26 billion of economic impact on the state's economy. The numbers this year, they know that they're $6 billion behind where they were last year. That's a real impact. On the export side of things, North Carolina manufacturers selling products to an international audience is one of the ways we keep the economy going and we have businesses that hire more people. Last year, we broke an all-time high for the state of North Carolina in terms of exports, and we did over $34 billion worth of exports. We know that number is also almost $6 billion behind where it was last year. So we have seen real impact from COVID. But you know, Drew, a quick call to you to just say that we truly appreciate all that the governor has done through this and all that the General Assembly has done, because this Onward is One campaign came to us because this is something that is in part funded by CARES Act funding. And the point was when folks came to us to say, what would EDPNC do in this situation? We said, we've got to raise awareness that these resources are out there. We need more businesses to know. So this campaign is exactly that. As the slide here will show, it began just before Thanksgiving. And this is one of those programs, like a lot that we're hearing about these days, that funding is, you know, the funding will turn into a pumpkin on December 30th. And so we are working against the clock to get this message out and develop this. And so this Onward is One campaign was launched to focus very specifically on an in-state audience. So just like the Visit NC team launched their Count on Me NC program, we launched Onward is One to make businesses, community leaders, and others aware of the type of resources that are available to them out there. You know, as you can see in this, we went through things and very specifically took a look at what makes North Carolina special. And I will tell you, it is, the stories that we hear over and over that show businesses that are holding on and showing a level of resilience that they didn't know they had are absolutely amazing. We've got some great stories of businesses that have pivoted to the manufacture of PPE. At the beginning, it wasn't about making money. It was about doing something for the good of the community. They started with that. Many of them have recognized this is a way that I can keep my employees going at a time that other product lines, maybe the orders are falling behind. And so we've seen some amazing things. And I'm proud of the work that Josh and his teammates have done to support businesses who are making that pivot. It really is amazing what we can do. And you know, they, again, I need to tip my cap to all the other partners out there who have helped make this happen. But groups like the Carolina Textile District in Morganton, groups like the Hillary Sherman and the EDA, who have been a big part of our work. So local partners, federal partners, everyone kind of bringing this together. And so as Josh mentioned, we've got that webinar coming up. But Nathan, I don't know if you have the ability to run that video. I did send you a link to the Onward site. You're on mute, Nathan. Nathan, you're muted.
I apologize for that. Here, I will share the video 1 second, and I apologize for any delay.
Good morning, North Carolina. It's a new day. Across the state, we're opening up doors, setting up shops, and bringing in first shifts. We're putting in the work to forge ahead. And with the help of the Economic Development Partnership of North Carolina, we move onward as one, making connections, sparking collaboration, providing guidance. North Carolina businesses aren't just enduring, but achieving. From major cities to small towns, the future is just getting started. Our sheer will to build a thriving state has always been and always will be what keeps us ahead. And we're building the North Carolina of tomorrow today. North Carolina businesses like yours can reach their full potential with EDPNC's COVID recovery resources, grant and loan expertise, startup counseling, export assistance, and workforce development. North Carolina. Let's move onward as one. See you in the morning.
Thanks, Nathan. That was terrific.
Were y'all able to hear that video?
Yes.
Worked well? Okay. I will go back to your PowerPoint, and I apologize for my poor Zoom facilitation skills. So
It's working great so far. Right there is perfect. Just up, just one more. Perfect. So just to give you a sense of what we've planned with this, that video, for example, is something that we're able to share on television through the program that's been created. And so we're on Spectrum Reach. We've got a variety of different channels that are playing this now. Some of you may have seen it already. It has been out there and running. We've got a print advertising campaign. We'll show you a few of those slides in just a moment. But this print advertising is being used across the state in a variety of different business journals and the Business NC magazine to get the word out about the types of resources that are available for folks. We're using email as much as possible to share that message. And one of the things that a lot of people have called me to tell me that they have heard is a radio sponsorship on NPR stations around the state. And so those really seem to have been picked up a good bit. And then of course, we're doing a variety of digital marketing ads through and social media advertising through things like LinkedIn and Facebook. And so we're really out trying to push the message. So all of this, the video, the print, the digital ads, the radio, all of that is being used to support this series of events. And Nathan, we'll see a couple of the print ads next. And so this will just give you an idea of some of the print ads so that you can keep an eye out for them. And then this next slide, just as Josh mentioned, this is one that's we would love everyone to attend this roundtable event that we've got planned for next Thursday, the 17th. For anyone who in the Northwest who'd like to participate in that event, we'll be doing that 2 days earlier on the 15th, on Tuesday. But these are great opportunities for us to, you know, in a 1 hour roundtable discussion, bring in a variety of partners who are helping businesses through all this, as well as the businesses themselves. So just before this call, we did one for the Charlotte region, and we had two businesses on there. We had the head of Rowan County Economic Development. We had someone from the Charlotte Regional Business Alliance, all talking about what types of things they're seeing, how we're working together, how we're helping one another, what resources are available. All of those things have been used to kind of build that message. And so Nathan will host us next week. We're very excited about that. I think it's a great opportunity, and I'd like everyone to please join it. And we're going to continue to build on this throughout next year as well. But you know, when it comes to advertising in the Economic Development Partnership in North Carolina, what I can tell you is we've got two really big mouths to feed in terms of promoting the tourism of the state. They do an amazing job with the advertising, and we are the sixth most visited state for a reason. The funding that they receive pales in comparison to what states like Florida and Texas are doing, but Whit Tuttle and his team do some amazing things. And then when it comes to, you know, the corporate side of economic development, we're typically keeping our powder dry for an external audience. You know, as we try to bring a Pratt and Whitney into the state, we'll focus very much on things that people here in the state will never see. And so we're always working on getting that message out. This was a really important campaign because this gave us the ability to reach into existing industry in this state. And it's something that has shown to be very effective so far. We want to do more of it. And here's just a couple of links that I'd recommend. One is a link to the website if you'd like some more information. The video is available there. And the other is a hashtag that we're just recommending folks use. And this is one of the ways that messages get amplified through social media hashtags and things like that. Nathan, we really appreciate you having us and giving us the opportunity to meet today. I'd be happy to take any questions, and whether it be on the campaign or anything else in regard to the Economic Development Partnership. We had a really important meeting earlier this morning. The Rural Infrastructure Authority met, and I know that they approved, I want to say it was over 25 different projects, which are projects that are bringing jobs into Tier 1 and Tier 2 counties all across the state. So some really good things happening this morning, and we just want to keep this going.
Josh and John, thank you so much for joining us today. I apologize for my poor technical skills, but hopefully it all worked out okay. Before you leave us, can you just give us a broad overview? I mean, our area and really the state as a whole has seen some pretty significant wins, just in our region over the last couple of months. The Pratt and Whitney announcement came out, but also I guess it was last week or early this week at the time runs together, but Jabil Healthcare announced they're going to locate a new manufacturing facility in Henderson County, which will be a significant investment and a large number of jobs. And just yesterday, Thermo Fisher, wish it was up in our region, but Thermo Fisher announced a $500 million investment in Greenville, North Carolina to expand their facility down there. Talk to us about business investment. I know some businesses are doing very well, like a Thermo Fisher. They're manufacturing ultra low temperature freezers in our region, and the demand is astronomical, and they're running full bore. There's other businesses that are struggling, especially our small businesses. So sort of give us the lay of what, where y'all see where we're headed.
Well, first thing I would say, Nathan, is anything that's related to vaccines, the manufacturing of vaccines, the research behind vaccines, the vials that hold vaccines, that is something that, you know, is moving at a pace that we almost can't keep up with. And so the Thermo Fisher project in Greenville is related to the vaccine industry. I don't know that it is related specifically to COVID, but that's what they do. And so that is something that is ramping up very quickly. We had another company from Connecticut that does injection technology, essentially syringes, that made an announcement here in RTP recently. So those things are just happening at Operation Warp Speed, right? They're happening at a different level. But even with that, we measure in any given year whether they're projects that come from existing industry or new industry to the state. We measure the number of projects that we capture. We measure the jobs that come from those projects as well as the investment. The total projects, you know, we're wrapping our year up, and so we're taking a hard look at everything. The total projects and the jobs associated with those projects are a little bit off, but they're not wildly off. If I had to predict, I think in terms of the goals that we laid out for the end of the year, I think we'll hit somewhere between 92 to 95% of our goals. So when it comes to total projects and the jobs, we're looking very good. When it comes to investment, we've blown our goals out for the year. To put things in perspective, when you combine all the projects that we were hoping to capture this year, back in January, we set a goal for ourselves of $4.2 billion in investment. And then the pandemic hit, and that $4.2 billion looked like we were asking ourselves to take a bit too big of a swing. Having said that, through projects like the Thermo Fisher project, the Centene project in Charlotte, the Pratt & Whitney project there in the area, it looks like we may even break the $6 billion mark this year in terms of investment in the state of North Carolina. And that is wonderful because that helps our local economies build around, you know, gives them something, that tax base that you've got to build around. And so the schools we need, the infrastructure we need, all of that is, we're things look good at this point. And so if there's a reason to be optimistic, you know, that shows that with everything we went through this year, in terms of the recruitment of new industry and getting existing businesses to grow, we're not too far off the mark.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, John. I wanted to share before y'all left, we tried to create an asset map. So we worked with the Chambers of Commerce and small business support groups in our region to try to help businesses see where those opportunities are for assistance. So I'm sharing a screen with that infographic. I hope, you know, maybe we can make some improvements to this. I think that's part of what your Onward is One campaign is to try to share the resources that are available. So more people are calling, more business owners are calling Josh and trying to find those opportunities to help them, you know, get through the this difficult time. So we certainly would appreciate any guidance there. We do list EDPNC on that. Y'all do have a statewide sort of a referral network that someone can call. And I think it's a 24/7 call center, is it not?
That's right.
So that's certainly available. So if y'all can help us with this asset map or ways that we can improve upon that, we'd greatly appreciate it. So again, thank you for joining us. Any final comments?
No, sir, Nathan, just appreciate the opportunity to speak today.
Well, Josh certainly wins the award for the best Zoom backdrop. He's carrying the EDPNC flag. So, John, thank you all so much for your work on behalf of our region. Encourage everyone to...
like Derek Edwards, by the way.
Yeah, Derek, he wins the Land of Sky Mountain Area NC Works award. But
I have to say, I'm partial to Grandfather Mountain. So, Robin, you had a picture of Grandfather Mountain up there, and you had me at that.
Robin did send me a message that I could subscribe to the News and Observer. So maybe Santa will bring that as a Christmas address, but a gift. But I did put something in the chat, but we'll try to share additional information. It does appear that the funding for the great grants has been green lighted. And so I got a few emails in the last 15 minutes from our staff. They're trying to keep up with that. So I know a lot of our local governments committees were dependent on that. So I appreciate everyone join us. If you have any questions for Josh or John, I don't see any in the chat. So I'm gonna go ahead and give you the rest of your day back. We will have a call next week, so you can have multiple Zoom meetings next Thursday. You can attend the EDPNC Western Prosperity Zone Roundtable at 11 o'clock and join our weekly call at 1 o'clock. And again, on our end, that will be our final call for the year, and then we'll start back up on January 7th. But we appreciate everyone for joining us. Again, thank you to Chris Chung at EDPNC for his leadership, but all the EDPNC team, John, Josh, everyone for their support. Y'all really work closely with our economic developers in each county, and we're very grateful for your guidance and leadership. So y'all have a safe and wonderful rest of your day. Hope you enjoy this beautiful sunshine. And if I don't talk to you before the Christmas, I hope everyone has a very happy holiday, and thank you so much.